I am not ashamed of the good news about salvation through Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, because this message and this message alone contains the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles, and salvation from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, and death is our very greatest need. Shalom, this is Rabbi Lauren, coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Well, my guest today is a wonderful Jewish woman, Debbie Edwards. Debbie grew up in a Jewish home in New Jersey and Connecticut and came to faith in Messiah Jesus while she was in college in Boston. After marrying, Debbie and her husband joined the staff of Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU, and she ministered at Stanford University in California. While she was a stay-at-home mom raising two children, she served with Stonecroft Ministries, leading women's Bible studies for almost 25 years. And currently, Debbie serves on the board of directors of one of my very favorite ministries, Jews for Jesus. And I believe that Jews for Jesus is one of the most important ministries in the world today. And Debbie is on the board of directors helping to run that very important ministry. Her husband, John Edwards, is the eighth generation from the Jonathan Edwards, who lived in the 1700s and was one of the greatest of American theologians and preachers. In fact, many have said that he preached the greatest sermon ever preached in the United States in our entire history, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You might have heard of that sermon preached by Jonathan Edwards. Well, Debbie's married to John Edwards, eight generations from Jonathan Edwards. And the Lord used Jonathan Edwards to help start what's called the First Great Awakening, the first major revival in U.S. history that helped reshape the American church. Debbie and her husband John live on Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Debbie, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Hi there.
Hi there, right back to you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for being on Jesus Made Me Kosher. Debbie, give us your story. How did the three-in-one God of Israel, the living God, reveal himself to you and that Yeshua, Jesus, is our wonderful Jewish Messiah and the Savior of the world? How did Jesus make you kosher, Debbie?
Oh, well, it was a while ago, many years ago, but you did say that I grew up in New Jersey and Connecticut. And I grew up in an environment where my family is Jewish. My grandparents are Jewish. In fact, they all grew up in New York City. And I didn't have any religious training when I was growing up, although my brother was bar mitzvahed, and we went to temple on the Jewish holidays of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Passover. However, my conservative Jewish background, I didn't particularly have any Jewish training. But when I was in junior high and high school, I was involved in Jewish groups because our community was mostly Jewish. And from the ages of 8 through 16, I went to Jewish summer camp in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania. And God was never really mentioned very much in our home, except more from my mom as a threat. If I did something wrong and she wanted to know what I did, she said, "You better tell me or God's going to punish you." Sometimes it was from my end where I was pleading with God that my parents wouldn't find out about something that I did. And so when I was 14, my parents got divorced, and it was a couple of years later that I moved up to Connecticut, where my mom remarried to a Jewish man who was a Holocaust survivor. And when I was in high school, I started dating some non-Jewish boys in the school that I went to. And my mom was very angry, and she threatened me and said, "Oy, if you ever married a non-Jew, I don't know what I'd do. I'd either kill you or I'd kill myself."
Wow.
She felt very threatened. You know, this was a community where everybody was Jewish and everybody kind of got along and, you know, did everything together. And so I just, you know, remembered that. Kind of like putting the Jewish mother's guilt on her child. I went off to college, and I experienced the full party life, and that was in the early 70s. And I dated some guys, again, who were not Jewish, and one particular guy that I was dating was from a Catholic background. And the summer before our second year in college, we would visit each other during the weekends, and of course he could not come to my house because he was not Jewish. So I would go up and visit him. He lived about an hour away from my home in Connecticut. And one of the times that I visited him, he told me he became a Christian. And this just floored me because I thought, what do you mean you became a Christian? You already are a Christian. Your parents are Christian. You grew up going to church. And then he explained to me that he, even though he did go to church and he had some religious training, he said that he finally understood what all that teaching was and that he had a personal relationship with God. Now, I just, you know, poo-hooed this and just said, yeah, sure. But I figured, okay, I'm really attracted to this guy. I really care about him. If this is something important to him and has happened in his life, I need to check this out and talk about it further with him and find out a little bit more. So he gave me some little tracts, knowing from my Jewish background, about Jesus being the Jewish Messiah. And he gave me some tracts that had prophecy concerning Jesus in the Old Testament and how it was fulfilled in the New Testament through the person of Jesus. And I, because I had no personal religious training growing up, this was all just really new to me. And I just, you know, didn't know, is this really in the Old Testament? Is this the Jewish Bible? And so forth. So I read and I read and I, you know, asked questions and so forth. Then I got my hands on a book called The Second Coming of Christ. And in those days, back in the early 70s, the Christian movement, the evangelical movement, was really thinking that Jesus was going to be coming back soon. And I read this book, and I thought, you know what? What if this is really true? That Jesus the Messiah is going to come back, gather his own to himself, and that the Jewish people were still very important to God and to Jesus. Well, I wanted to be in on this. My background was, I'm a party girl, and I didn't want to be left out. I wanted to be on the winning side. So I prayed at the time. I prayed, and I said, God, you know what? I don't know if this is true or not. I need for you to show me. Continue to show me whether or not this is Jesus really is my Messiah. I want to believe, but I'm not sure. And I put a P.S. at the end of that prayer, and I said, God, you're going to have to tell my mother because I'm not. And so then began the journey that I had, that God started answering my prayer and showing me that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, that he was the fulfillment of those prophecies I started reading in the Old Testament. My mother find out about a year later about my faith. I did not tell her. God worked out the details where she found out. I won't go into that. That's too long of a story. But as a result, my mother became, because this is what everybody wants to know, what did your parents say? you know, what was their reaction? And my mom informed me, because I was still in college, she informed me that she and my stepfather were no longer going to be supporting me in my college tuition, or that I would pay for me to still live in Boston where I was going to school. In those days, in the early 70s, parents of Jewish kids who did anything that the parents were not in approval of sent them to Israel to live on a kibbutz for a few months, thinking that that would straighten them out. And that's what my mom wanted me to do. She wanted me to leave Boston, leave college, because that was where the influence of my new faith was, and go and live in Israel for a while. And I said, you know, I'd really like to do that one day, but I'm really enjoying the courses that I'm taking and being in school and so forth. And it was right in the middle of my education. And I said, I really didn't think that this was the best time to come. The same time that my mom had told me that she was no longer going to financially support me, I needed to move out of the dormitory that I was in and find new housing. I also had this boyfriend who was the one who told me about Jesus. He decided, this is now a year later, he decided to break up with me. He said, you know what, it's really kind of difficult dating and trying to grow in my relationship with Jesus and with God, that I feel like our relationship is hampering that. And I think we need to just kind of cool it for a while and grow in our own relationship with God. So all at once, I felt like the rug was pulled out from under me. I had no finances to continue college. I had no finances or a place to live. My boyfriend, who I was really serious with, all of a sudden dumped me. And it was like, okay, God, I'm going to have to trust you. And it was like God was saying to me, okay, Debbie, do you believe in me just because of this boyfriend of yours? Or are you going to trust me? And I had to step out in faith and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. You're going to have to provide for me because I don't have any other way. And God did miracles over and over for me in providing finances, a place to live with a bunch of other women who believed in Jesus for the next 3 years of college, finances for me to continue and graduate school, and then God, as you said, provided my husband several years later. So that's the short of it.
Well, that is a great story. I am so glad that the Lord was there for you and provided for you and just, you know, supported you as a good father would support a loving daughter. Debbie, a lot of Christians think that all Jewish people really know the Bible and are taught it growing up. And you were raised in a strong Jewish community, right? And I was too. I hardly knew what a Gentile was as I was growing up in the suburbs of Chicago. And I had a bar mitzvah, but I was not familiar really with much of the Bible, and I certainly was not familiar with the messianic prophecies. So that's just a very common Christian misunderstanding that Jewish people really know the Tanakh, the Old Testament, well. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree?
I totally agree. And, you know, we have a similar background, but even today I'm finding more and more that there are fewer Jewish young people, even, who have any kind of religious training or background. And therefore, you know, trying to come to them and say, you know, your Bible, well, they don't know what their Bible says. And that's how I was. And someone had to show me what the Bible says. I mean, I was firm and standing upon the New Old Testament. This is my Bible. This is the Jewish Bible. Even though I had no idea what it said, but I didn't know what it believed, what it said, what it predicted, until I started reading and studying. And then, boy, were my eyes opened.
Yeah, very similar story with me. It was God using Christians to get me reading the Bible and showing me some of those messianic prophecies in the Hebrew scriptures like Isaiah 53 that really turned my life around. And so I just want to encourage the Christians who may be listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher right now, do not assume that your Jewish friend or coworker or neighbor knows the Bible, and do not assume that he knows anything about these amazing messianic prophecies in the Hebrew scriptures. And if you could just direct him to four or five of these good messianic prophecies like Isaiah 53, you're doing him or her such a favor. Debbie, you said you were a party girl, and then you gave the indication that you wanted to be part of God's party. Is that what you meant?
That's exactly right. Exactly. I saw in the prophecies, not so much the messianic prophecies, but the prophecies concerning Jesus coming again for his people. And I thought, well, if I'm alive and I want to be in on the end game, or if I die, I want to be in on what God is doing. And so from that perspective, and God took me from where I was, because that was the background I had. That was where I was at the time. You know, today it's a whole different perspective, and is, of course, it's growing in years, my understanding of Jesus and his death and resurrection was not a big issue when I first started learning about Jesus. But after I made that prayer and I said, you know, God, show me, continue to show me that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, it was then that God started showing me through the scriptures about who Jesus was and why he had to die. I didn't understand that at first. I'd never understood the atonement at Yom Kippur, what that was all about, and why we needed an atonement, and how Jesus fulfilled that atonement once and for all. And that, just that greater understanding, and God just worked in my heart. And as a result, after about 2 years, I started thinking, God, you forgive me. I didn't think I did anything horrendous in my life, but I knew that my heart, my attitudes, my thoughts, my character inside, sure, people thought on the outside I was a great person, but on the inside I knew I wasn't. I had jealousies, I had bitterness, I had unforgiveness, and I realized that God forgave me. That God truly loves me. And that freed me up so much. I had a distant relationship with my real father a few years after the divorce when I was a teenager. And we didn't speak for about 5 years. And in the interim, I had become a believer in Jesus. And when God showed me how much he had forgiven me and how much he loved me, I felt that burden that I needed to recontact my dad and forgive him for any hurt that I felt that I was the recipient of, whether it was intentional or not. And God gave that to me. That's definitely not something I would have conjured up, but something that God overnight just gave me, that release of forgiveness and bitterness. So those are some of the things
that's
that
beautiful.
I learned.
You know, again, you and I have a lot of similarities. It wasn't my awareness of sin, that I was a great sinner, that attracted me to God and to Messiah. For me, it was search for meaning and truth. And my awareness of my sinfulness and my need of atonement, like you, really came afterwards. And like you, Debbie, I prayed virtually that same prayer. You know, God, if Jesus is the Messiah, show me. Jesus, if you're real and I'm not speaking to thin air, reveal yourself to me and I'll follow you. That, I remember those were like my first prayers. Mm-hmm. And like you, when my folks found out that I had become a Jew for Jesus, they also cut me off from college tuition. And like you, God provided for me. That's when I met Jews for Jesus, and they actually gave me a scholarship to help me go through a Moody Bible Institute. So God provided for me to finish up my education, too. And like you, my folks shipped me off to Israel when they found out became a Messianic Jew. That was like the first one of the first things. Huh?
You actually went to Israel where I
did. I did. They shipped me off to Israel because they wanted me to learn what it meant to be really Jewish. And, you know, so they sent me to Israel. And I got to tell you, Debbie, my 5 or 6 weeks in Israel really strengthened me in my Jewish identity and my my Christian identity at the same time, my Messianic Jewish identity. Tell us a little bit about your involvement with Jews for Jesus. How did you get to be on the board of directors?
Let's see. I met the founder, Moshe Rosen, back in 1974, soon after the organization had just incorporated. I was at a conference in Pennsylvania for Messianic Jews from all over, mainly probably the Midwest and the East Coast, of just gathering together at a conference center to enjoy fellowship, some teaching, and just networking and meeting one another. And that's where I first heard Moshe Rosen and speakers from Jews for Jesus. From then on, I was on their mailing list to just receive their newsletters, and I think probably when I finished college, I was maybe supporting them, probably $5 a month or something like that. It was just very minimal. And when my husband and I got married and moved to, we worked with Campus Crusade for Christ, as you stated at the beginning, we worked at Stanford University in California. And we got in touch with Jews for Jesus, and we would attend some of their meetings and their gatherings and their conferences in the fall. And we've just been kind of getting to know some of the staff and just kind of on the outside. And one day, one of their staff in New York City came to our church in Connecticut. We were living in Connecticut at the time. I was going back about 16 years ago, came to our church and was going to speak, and I was helping organize their speaking engagement that evening. And this staff person asked me and said, you know, would you be interested in joining our board? We're kind of interested in looking for a female to a Jewish believer to be on our board. And I said, okay. And I met with Moshe Rosen and Susan Perlman, and they came out to Connecticut to, for a speaking engagement. And it was very interesting. I remember Moshe sitting down with my husband and my two teenage kids at the time instead of me. And I sat with the staff. I remember we were sitting at a diner after Moshe speaking at a church, a local church.
Debbie, I need to interrupt. We only have about less than a minute. I just want to say, yes, you became a member of the board of directors, and you've been serving faithfully for what, 15, 16 years now?
Yeah. So it was just a very unusual but God timing kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story today on Jesus Made Me Kosher. You were great. And thank you for your involvement serving the Lord faithfully all these years and in various ways, particularly on being on the board of Jews for Jesus is very important ministry. And I've always wanted to be on the board of directors of Jews for Jesus. Do you think you can help push my nomination forward a little bit?
I'll try.
Thank you, Debbie. This is Rabbi Lauren. Thank you so much for listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. Coming up next is Chris Brooks and Christ in the City. And look forward to being back with you tomorrow. Shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.